Good morning. I greet you in the name of Him to whom we want to praise this morning. Would you please open your Bibles to Genesis 32? As you're opening your Bibles there, I'd like to start off by asking a couple questions to get your minds thinking. Why did you come to church this morning? I assume you were expecting something to happen when you came. What are some of your expectations in coming to church? For those of us who have given our lives over to the Lordship of Christ, I presume our goal is to encounter God this morning. But exactly what do we envision that looking like? In this passage in Genesis 32, verses 24 through 32, the latter section of the chapter, we see here Jacob wrestling with an angel of God. And it is in the context of Jacob soon before hearing that Esau, his brother, was coming to meet him with 400 men. I would like to read this passage now. Genesis 32, 24 through 32. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh, so the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But he said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." He said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him and said, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved." Now the sun rose up upon him just as he crossed over Peniel, and he was limping on his thigh. Therefore to this day the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh in the sinew of the hip. I'd like to draw three things out of this passage that I think should pertain to us this morning as well. When we talk about an encounter with God, what do we expect that to look like? I think in this passage, I think in coming here this morning, there are three things that we should expect. First of all, an encounter with God requires persistence. As we see here in the passage, Jacob was persistent in his fight with the angel of God. So an encounter with God requires action. It is not a passive activity. Jacob was actively involved here with his contact with God, and whether or not he realized while he was wrestling, who he was wrestling with, I'm not quite sure. But he was actively engaged. We often talk about listening and receiving from God, and that is certainly a legitimate discipline that we need to cultivate. However, this often morphs into both a mental and physical disengagement. For example, when I am relating, or when my wife is relating an incident or feelings to me, and the extent of my communication back to her is a grunt and a nod, I cannot effectively receive that information that she is trying to relate to me, much less connect with her emotionally. It is only when our communication is verbal, when there is verbal give and take, that there can be understanding and that there can be intimacy. And in a way, I believe this is what God desires from us as well, a reciprocation of communication. Yes, we are here to receive from him, and he extends his arms of love to us, but he also requires that we extend our arms to him as well. God does not expect us to come here and passively sit and listen. Listening should not be passive, it should be active. And when we are only passively engaged, I think this is a good indication that we don't want, or at least don't expect, to have a real encounter with God. Not only in persisting in our encounter with God, it not only requires action, but we also need to fight distractions. It is hard at times, fighting mental distractions, fighting sleep, but we do it because we desire to see God, and that is far more important than focusing on whatever might be distracting us. Not only does an encounter with God require persistence, it also involves change. In the Chronicles of Narnia, I do not remember the character who stated this, but it was said of Aslan, who was a representation of God, that he is not a tame lion. In the Old Testament, God is referred to at times as the Lion of Judah. And this not only denotes majesty, it also implies someone who you approach with fear and reverence. In Exodus 19, where Moses and the Israelites met with God, I would like to read verses 17 through 25. Exodus 19, 17 through 25. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was all in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked violently. When the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him with thunder. The Lord came down on Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, "Go down, warn the people, so that they do not break through to the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near to the Lord consecrate themselves, or else the Lord will break out against them." Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, 'Set bounds about the mountain and consecrate it.' Then the Lord said to him, 'Go down and come up again, you and Aaron with you, but do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, or he will break forth upon them.' So Moses went down to the people and told them." In the passage in Genesis, again, the passage about Jacob, he in verse 30 he says this, "So Jacob named the place Penuel, for he said, 'I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved.'" And it seems like he was genuinely surprised that he was not dead. And I think we see that as well in the Exodus passage. That God is to be approached in reverence and awe. When we encounter God, we will be changed, whether we like it or not. We simply cannot come out of this morning and not be changed if we have encountered God. Yet often this change is painful and unpleasant. We as American Mennonite Christians are so comfort-oriented. And I believe this has spilled into our worship experiences as well. For example, when I have quiet time with God, often it involves a soft couch, a soft pillow, and a blanket in the winter. And that is very important. But I'm not sure it should be that way. And this morning in our communal worship, we have padded benches, we have a temperature control system that is faithfully controlled, usually by Harold. And we are just comfort oriented. And when we're cold or we're too hot, it takes away from our worship experience. And again, should it be that way? In Nehemiah 8, I'm not going to turn to that passage, but it's a passage where Nehemiah takes the law of the Lord and reads it to the people. And I believe it says that from early morning to noon, they stood and listened to him read and would intermittently prostrate themselves on the ground before God. I wonder if that's not a better picture of how we should engage in worship with God. An encounter with God requires persistence, it involves change, and it produces joy. When we are touched by God's presence, our lives exhibit joy. The adage, no pain, no gain, holds true in many life circumstances, but none so much as our relationship with God. As I mentioned before, you cannot meet with God without being changed. And that change in heart brings about joy. Though the surgery may be accompanied by unpleasantness and pain, the joy of being touched by the Almighty God is what gives us joy. Though limping, Jacob was overjoyed to have met with God. Again, in verse 30, he says, I have seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved. Though stitched up, what is important at the end of the day is that we have met with God. If you and I are to have an authentic encounter with God this morning, we must be prepared to persevere even when we are surrounded by distractions. We are to endure any painful surgery that God does in our hearts, knowing that the end result of an encounter with God is pure joy. Not because it was entertaining or a pleasant morning, not even because the temperature suited our constantly changing internal thermostats, but because we saw God. May we all individually and corporately experience God in a powerful way this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you have revealed yourself through your word, through your Son, and that you desire for us to meet with you this morning. You are here and you are extending your hand to us, asking that we do the same to you. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Matt, for those thoughts. I think God has good